Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine." Heavenly Father, I'm asking for your help to preach this message. Lord, I normally pray for the people. I normally pray that you'd bless them and help them. And certainly, Lord, please do that. But Lord, I pray today for me. Now, I believe I've sought your face, and I believe you've given me what to say. But I need your strength to preach. I need your unction to preach. I need your power to preach. Lord, help me to understand the Word of God. First, help me to order my thoughts and to glean from these few verses what you would have me to say. And somehow, Lord, somehow help me. And Lord, I give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. And I would say to my listeners, please don't forget to pray for me. I certainly could use prayer. This chapter, chapter 13, obviously is right after chapter 12. But in chapter 12, we read how God delivered the children of Israel. They were in Egyptian bondage, and I've said this over and over and over again. And of course, obviously, everyone has seen the movie, The Ten Commandments, and perhaps other movies. Everybody knows this story, I guess. But God's people were in bondage. They were enslaved in Egypt, and Pharaoh would not let the people go. But God, miraculously, I believe, made a way for the children of Israel to go free. And we know that the firstborn of Pharaoh, firstborn of Pharaoh's second cousin, or firstborn of whoever, every household, the firstborn died, unless by faith they had placed the blood on the doorpost and the lintel of their particular house. If the blood had been applied, the death angel passed over, and that's where we get the word Passover. And I've said this again and again. And again, this is last chapter, but it's very important, not only in this chapter, but I believe in the entire Word of God, to remember that without the shedding of blood, it is impossible to have our sins removed or forgiven or washed away or purged or whatever. And we said again and again that the lamb that was slain and its blood put on the doorpost and lintel, that this pictured, it foreshadowed by probably 1500 years or so, it foreshadowed Jesus Christ and him dying on the cross. So he says here, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine. Now, again, the Egyptian firstborn, their lives were forfeit. And God is saying, okay, I've delivered you. Now look, let me give you some basic ground rules. Let me give you a few tips, a few pointers, and what have you. And that's basically what this chapter is about. But he says, sanctify unto me. The word sanctify means to set apart and call it holy. Set apart unto me, it says. And if you read in the Word of God, you read in the New Testament, whatever, it says that we should sanctify ourselves and that we are sanctified by the blood of God's own Son, and etc. But these people, they were delivered, but they were God's people. And he says, okay, now I have purchased you, if you will. You're mine, it says. You're my people. You're going to live according to my rules, according to my word. I'll give you my law. I've given you your freedom. And one day I'm going to give my Son to make all of this good. But since they understood that the lives of the Egyptian firstborn were forfeit, he says, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whether it be man or beast. He said, it is mine. And what does that mean? And as we finish the rest of the chapter, we'll touch on it again. But this talks about, I suppose, it has something to do with the Feast of First Fruits. And the idea that the first fruit, if you're planting an orchard or whatever, the first little bit, the first couple of apples or whatever that would come to be ripe, that you're supposed to sacrifice that or give that to the Lord. If you're planting tomatoes, you should give, at least under the old covenant, you were supposed to give the first couple of tomatoes that got ripe, you were supposed to bring to the preacher or the priest or whatever. And I know that some churches will still practice this today. If they have a garden, they will do that. They will, first couple of beans that become ripe, they'll give to their pastor. But this is a biblical idea. And we know that God gave his firstborn for our sins. So this idea, he says, you're going to sanctify unto me. And if it's talking about a beast, a lamb, or whatever, and in a few verses we'll get back to that, but it says that you're supposed to sacrifice that animal. His life would be forfeit, that you would slit its throat, pour out the blood, and offer it upon the Lord's altar. And you say, preacher, we don't want to hear about that. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. But that's what the Bible talks about. And without the shedding of blood, it is impossible, he said, for any of this salvation that we talk about to come to pass. It costs the life of God's Son. But in verse 3, it says, and Moses said unto the people, remember this day, the Passover, in which ye came up out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place, or from this place. There shall no unleavened bread be eaten. And this day came ye out in the month of Abib. And in a couple of verses we'll get back to the idea of unleavened bread. But he says in verse 5, and it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. I guess there's several things there, that the land of Israel, he promised it to, it says, thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were promised the land of Canaan. And today, the Jews are in their land, the land that God promised unto them. It lists 6 or 7 tribes, I guess we could count them, but it lists these tribes that live there. And God says, but I promised this to you. And they're there, but they're going to be driven out or leave or be killed or whatever. And there's a number of things that we could talk about, and I suppose at some point we'll get to them. But we did read this before in a few chapters earlier, and it mentions us now, and then again and again and again these tribes are mentioned, and the promise that God has that he would give this land to the Jews. It's mentioned again and again. But he says in verse 6, 7 days shall thou eat unleavened bread, and in the 7th day shall be a feast unto the Lord. And we touched on this before, that you've got the Passover, which was a holy day. then you've got the 7-day Feast of Unleavened Bread, or matzah, whatever. And that first day, and then the seventh day, those also were holy days, or holidays, or what have you. That's where we get our word holiday from, is holy day. But he says here in verse 7, Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall be no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither there shall be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And we said that leaven was a type of sin, and that we should get the sin out of our lives. You know, again, it cost the life of God's Son for us to be saved. But it says here in verse 8, And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, This is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Verse 10, Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. And again, he gives this idea of, look, I delivered you. You're going to live for me. And these different feasts that I give to you, these holidays or festivals or whatever, you're going to keep them every year. And there were 7 feasts. There were 3 main feasts that the Jews had to appear in Jerusalem. And obviously they're in the desert now. And that's a future thing for them. But he gives these feasts, and they're to be kept every year. And it's to remind the people, hey, God delivered us. Hey, God delivered us. Hey, God delivered us. That's why it's important to attend church, that we hear the word of God. That's why it's important to sing the various hymns and choruses that we have. These things remind us of what God has done for us. And I want to stress that again. We're to be reminded constantly of what God did for us. Because we will drift off. We will get other things in our mind. We'll get other things that take precedence in our lives. But it's important to be reminded and to always come back to what God did on the cross of Calvary for us. But in verse 11 it says, And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix. In other words, all that are the firstborn. And every firstling that cometh of a beast with that which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break its neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. And again, this gives the understanding or the idea that one died for someone else. In Christ's case, one died for many. Then the firstborn, if it's a male, then you should go ahead and sacrifice it. And in verse 13, it talks about every firstling of an ass or a donkey or whatever. Thou shalt redeem with a lamb. The word redeem means to buy back. And we've sung this hymn in church, Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. To redeem means to buy back, to redeem, to purchase back. And we're purchased back from sin. But it says here that if you're going to obey the law of the firstborn, you're supposed to sacrifice a lamb. Now it says an ass, you're not supposed to sacrifice an ass because it's not a clean beast. And we'll read about that in Leviticus. It lists the clean and the unclean animals. But this was something that you had. It was a farm animal. And it was the firstborn. And you had to sacrifice it. But because you couldn't sacrifice that kind of an animal, you had to redeem it or buy it back. In other words, you sacrifice a lamb in its place. And I guess that's the doctrine of substitution, that Christ died in our place. But the last phrase of this, it says, And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. The firstborn of each family, the male you should sacrifice, but obviously we're not trying to sacrifice our children, so instead you sacrifice a lamb, and you redeem that son. Now in verse 14 it says, "And it shall be, when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What is this? That thou shalt say unto him, By strength of hand," there's that phrase again, "the Lord brought us up from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beasts. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix of the womb, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem." So every Jewish firstborn man, he remembers if he knows his Bible, if he knows the Word of God. And obviously, we would say that's the Old Testament. Perhaps a more polite term to use would be the Hebrew Scriptures. But if he knows his Torah, if he knows his Bible, he would say, well, you know, according to the Word of God, I should have been sacrificed. My life should have been forfeit. But a lamb took my place. And again, that talks about Jesus Christ. We can go down the Roman road, I suppose. We can read the passages from Romans that talk about, well, I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and do that. Let's go down the Roman road. It says here in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." If you turn over, I guess, the next page in chapter 5, you can read verse 12 through 21. And again, that gives more of the understanding of the Roman road. I guess you can say that the way that we get saved, the understanding of who we are, who Christ is, and why we needed to be saved. In Romans 6:23, we all know this verse, I suppose. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You can go to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. It says, and let's flip to it. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And there's other verses that you can use. You can go perhaps to John 3:16. You can go to 2 Peter verse 3, or rather chapter 3 verse 9. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Hebrews 10:17, John 3:3. And many times those that do street ministry or some kind of witnessing, they will use maybe some of these verses. It's the Roman road that's called. And I believe perhaps that we should take the time to read and perhaps memorize these verses. They do come in handy. But in verse 16, he gives this idea again we read earlier. It says, and it shall be for a token upon thine hand and for frontlets between thine eyes. For by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. In verse 17, and it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. Now, we know very shortly, in a couple of chapters, we'll see that they did end up in battles. But right off the bat, he said, I don't want the people to see war. They're going to want to return back to Egypt. Now, that's interesting, because, and this theme is repeated again and again and again, that these are people that were, in fact, slaves in Egypt. And Moses came on the scene, and he went to Pharaoh, and God had all of these terrible plagues that fell. And they, in a night, were delivered through the shedding of blood. And then God says, look, I want you to keep these various feasts through the year. And you would think that they would remember the things that happened. And matter of fact, if we get Just, I think maybe the next chapter or two, it talks about them beginning to complain because of the situation that they were in. And when we get to that, I perhaps have a few stories to tell that in my own life, how the Lord dealt with me when I wanted to complain. Maybe something to do with my travels in Haiti or something. But they would continually say, yeah, we know what happened, but, and complain. Or yeah, but we want to go do this instead. We want to worship this different idol or something. And you would think that having seen all of that they saw, that they would follow God with their whole heart, but too often they did not. And through the centuries, that tendency for them to stray from the Lord cost them a great deal. But it says in verse 18, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. That harnessed, I'm not exactly sure. One commentator says that they went in a line, maybe five abreast or something. But they marched on out of Egypt. God delivered them, and they were marching out of Egypt. And we mentioned this before as well. In verse 19, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you. And again, that promise, God will deliver you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And verse 20, and they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. Now these next two verses, which would end the chapter, these are interesting verses. And again, this is no surprise. We've all heard this story, this message. We've seen it on TV, but still, this is impressive. And certainly the Jews did not ever think that this would happen. But it says in verse 21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. And he took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. He delivered them. They were marching out of Egypt, but in front of that column, the Lord himself was there, not pictured as a man or anything, but pictured as cloud coming down from heaven and touching the ground. But it was an obvious thing, an obvious cloud. And at night, it wasn't a cloud, but it was fire. And that is obviously a great thing. I guess you can take several things from this passage. From miles around, probably 25, 50 miles away, you knew that, hey, that's the Lord. If you were one of these Jebusites or Hittites or whatever, and you saw this pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night marching towards you, you knew that that was God's people. You knew that the Lord was with them, and you knew you were in for a big battle. And we know that all of these tribes were driven out of the land that they were in. And every time that Israel was pure before the Lord, every time that they followed the Lord with a correct heart, a correct spirit, they won every battle that they ever got into. But if you look at the fact that there was someone leading them, the Lord was leading them. He was guiding them. He gave them direction. He gave them instruction on what to do. You see, we are trying to follow the Lord. Well, we have instruction. We have the Word of God. We have the preaching of the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit. We have wisdom of perhaps our pastor or the deacons or something. We're not left here just to hopefully figure out what it is or what we should do or how to live. We're not left. Jesus said, I won't leave you, I won't forsake you, I'll be with you until the end of the age, it says. And thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, because it's God with us. God with us. Jesus Christ to come, he comes to live in us. And again, obviously it's by the agency of the Holy Spirit that he makes his abode in our hearts. But he's with us and he'll lead us. And whatever battle we come up against, God is with us. If we find that we don't know how to pay the rent, God is with you, and call upon him and he can help you. Whatever situation you find yourself in, God is with you. He said, I'll not leave you comfortless, I will come unto you. Let's look at Proverbs, a few verses that everyone knows, I suppose. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In the next chapter, chapter 4, verse 18, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And that probably Solomon was thinking about that pillar of fire by night. God can go with us. God will go with us. And if we put our trust in him, he will not let us down. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. Or just go to the main page and follow the links on the left, and you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.